no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. We'll hear two stories featuring Vincent Price this week, beginning with The Saint. We'll hear The Birds and Bees of East Orange, his story from March 18, 1951. After that, it's The Name of the Beast from Suspense. That episode aired April 11, 1946.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as... The Saint.
Who? Oh, it's you. For a minute, I thought I just stopped in for a book. Yeah, that's it. You know,
All right, all right. Rome wasn't built in a day. How long did it take?
What?
Never mind.
You're Simon Templar?
Yes.
Then please let me in, quickly.
Of course.
I'm going crazy.
Well, could you wait until we got into the living room? Chairs there. You see?
Maybe you won't believe me, but I am going crazy.
Well, all right, but sit down,
No, I...
You're very pretty, and I'm glad you came to visit, but I won't have you going crazy in my apartment.
Where should I go crazy?
I have a suggestion. Don't go at all.
But you don't understand. My name is May Owen.
How do you do?
I'm going crazy.
You were explaining why.
I'm sorry. You see, I own a little bookstore.
And you've been reading all the bestsellers.
Of course not. I just rent books. I don't have to read them.
Oh, my apologies. A circulating library,
That's right. And...
Are you starting to cry?
Yes.
You have beautiful eyes. And lovely lashes. Do they belong to you?
Of course they do.
Amazing, May.
Maybelline.
I beg your pardon?
Maybelline on my lashes.
Oh.
I'm not going to cry anymore.
Good. Now then, you own a circulating library.
I'm going...
To tell me what's bothering you. What is?
Mr. Templar, have you ever heard of a book called Birds and Bees of East Orange?
I've been a luckier man than I'd realized. The answer is no. What about it?
Well, Mr. Templar, in the last month, that book has been constantly in demand. It's crazy. Who cares about the birds and bees of East Orange?
I don't know.
It goes out of the library, a reservation comes in. As soon as it comes back to the library, it goes out again. And then another reservation, and then it comes in and goes out and comes in. Well, why should that happen all the time?
Well, perhaps the author has a lot of relatives.
You still don't understand.
Is there anything to understand? For some reason or other, the book happens to be popular, and, well, there's no real problem.
Oh, but there is. You see, the people who've been taking that book out all the time... Well, they're the same people. There it is, Mr. Templar.
Well, stop right here, Louis.
Okay, Mr. Temple.
One I should wait, Mr. Templer?
I want you should wait, Louis.
I'll wait.
Mr. Templer.
Yes, May?
You're not speaking to me.
I'm trying to invent a good reason why I'm going to your bookstore with you.
Oh?
May, could I seriously tell anyone I'm going to a bookstore at this hour of the night in order to look at a book called The Birds and Bees of East Orange?
Sure you could.
Yeah, but they wouldn't believe me, just as I don't believe...
Well, this is my place.
Oh. Huh. It's nice.
It's small, but... the books get in all right.
Oh, that's convenient.
Just a minute till I put the lights on. There.
I'd better shut the door before any midnight browsers come around. Now,
The Birds and Bees of East Orange?
Yes.
Well, it came in just before I shut up shop. It's on reserve, though, of course.
Of course.
So I left it behind the counter.
Well, who reserved it?
One of the people who've been taking it out regularly. It should be down here.
May. Oh, don't faint.
I've got a rash.
No. What is it?
The man down here behind the counter.
Get out of there and let me take a look at him.
Oh, all right.
Ordinary kitchen knife buried in his chest. He hasn't been dead very long. The body's still warm. May, who is he?
I never saw him before.
You sure?
Of course I am. He doesn't even look like the kind of man who ever read a book.
I'm not so sure of that. Where is the Birds and the Bees book, huh?
I left it on the shelf right here. I don't understand. I left it here. It's on reserve.
The reservation's been canceled.
Mr. Bieber will be terribly angry.
Mr. Bieber being the man who had the reservation?
That's right.
You have a file card for him? I'd like to see it.
It's back in this drawer. Keep all the rental library customers' cards in a box.
What is it?
The file cards. They're all gone.
That helps. May, would you happen to remember Mr. Bieber's address?
Yes, I do, because it's a hotel, which is easy.
Oh, thank heaven something is easy. Which hotel?
The Bolivar.
Good. Now, you said the same people kept on taking the East Orange book out all the time, huh?
Uh-huh. The same three people.
Who were they?
Well, Mr. Bieber, of course.
Yes.
And then there's a girl named Wendy Willikins. You know, that name sounds funny.
Yes, it does.
The other one's funny, too. It's Peter Piper.
Peter Piper?
Uh-huh. It shouldn't be hard finding someone named Peter Piper.
No, not if it happens to be his real name. However, we do have Mr. Bieber and an address. Yeah, plus a course.
I don't know his name. He never took a book out. What are you doing?
Yeah, maybe this gentleman never took a book out, but luckily he did take out a driver's license.
Oh, his wallet.
Yeah, his name is Dugan, James Dugan, and his occupation...
Is that on his license, too?
No. These, however, were in his vest pocket.
Those?
Yep.
They're dice, aren't they?
Yes, professional-style dice. In a handsome leather case. Therefore, occupation gambler, hmm?
Gosh, you figured that out pretty quickly.
I think we'd better phone the police and tell them Mr. Dugan, gambler, has cast his last die.
Joe, be sure to get a picture of the counter.
Yeah.
Barney, get some of that back door, huh? Okay. Harry, you cover that table, will you?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Oh, Templer.
Yes, Lieutenant Minnelli.
Give.
I just did.
Huh?
On March 15th.
Oh. Say, Templer, you and the girl found a stiff by accident, huh?
Yes, of course. He's a total stranger to both of us.
Yes, so the girl said. There were jimmy marks on the outside door. Stiff was carrying a jimmy.
Are you deducing, Lieutenant?
Phooey. He broke into the place. Why?
He had a fire, but no good book to curl up with.
Goodbye, Mr. Templer.
You want me and me to leave?
I want you to leave.
Oh, but...
I'll be all right, Mr. Templer. The lieutenant's very nice.
Don't be silly. Actually, he's known as Minnelli the Monster, the horror of headquarters.
Hey, Lieutenant!
Excuse me.
Yeah, what is it?
Don't let his polished manners deceive you. May, you're not telling him about the birds and the bees.
No.
That's your affair. I'm leaving now by request.
Where are you going?
To see a man about a book. Good evening. I'd like to see Mr. Bieber.
Well, what do you know?
And I know you're not Mr. Bieber. Mr. Bieber wouldn't use perfume. May I come in? I hate to lurk in hotel corridors.
You may come in.
Thank you. Is your husband here?
I'm not married. Sorry?
I haven't had time to think about it.
All right. Think about it.
If you're under the impression that you're helping my mental process...
I'm not.
Well, my name is Simon Templer.
Hello, Simon. I'm Wendy.
Wendy Willikins?
Well, how clever of you to guess.
I wasn't guessing.
Oh?
Have you, read any good books lately?
Oh, darling, you're the first man in 10 years that's asked me that.
Well, maybe, but I meant it.
Well, the answer is no. And most of the men I meet haven't read any good books lately either. You see, they
prefer... The book I had in mind was The Birds and Bees of East Orange.
Well, are they any different from The Birds and Bees anyplace else?
I wouldn't think so.
Then, Simon, tell me about yourself.
My biography is long and dull.
I don't want a biography. I just want to know what you're doing here.
Trying to find out if you've read a book.
No. You were expecting Bieber to be here, therefore...
You point guns at anybody who expects Bieber to be here, Wendy, you should have stuck to your other weapons. That revolver doesn't frighten me.
It should.
It would if someone else weren't already pointing a revolver at you.
I don't believe
you
it.
Sure?
Peter.
I don't like to see girls play with guns, even big girls. Drop it, Wendy.
Oh, I hate you.
Needn't bother eyeing that gun, Mr. Templer. I'll take it.
Seems unfair. You already have one.
I am unfair. I'll tell you a secret, Mr. Templer. I'm a nasty character.
I believe you.
Thanks. Wendy, where is Bieber?
I don't know. I was waiting for him.
You know you shouldn't have come to his hotel.
Neither should you.
True enough. Nevertheless...
Mr. Piper, have you read The Birds and Bees of East Orange recently?
Don't try to startle me again, Templar. My finger might accidentally pull the trigger.
Well, I wasn't testing your nerves. It was your reading matter.
Shut up. Wendy, where does he come in?
I don't know.
Would you like to try that again?
I really don't know.
Weak.
You better not slap her again, Piper.
Why not?
Because then I'd have to take your revolver away.
You wouldn't make it.
Perhaps not. She'd make so much noise shooting me, I'd bleed and bleed.
Then stay where you are and mind your own business.
I'd prefer to, but I can't stand seeing women slapped. Probably a childhood fixation or something.
You'll have to stand it. Wendy?
Don't.
I warned you, Piper.
Another step, Templar, and you get it.
Believe me, I don't want
all
it,
right,
but
then I... Who's that?
I suffer from defective vision. I can't see through wooden doors.
Mr. Templer! Mr. Templer?
Answer him.
Yes, what is it?
Cops are on their way, coming up the stairs right now.
Oh, thank you.
All right, this one's yours, Templer. But there'll be another time.
Mr. Piper must have a fixation about policemen or something.
I think I'll go out the back door, too, Simon.
Oh, same fixation?
No, but my mother warned me against men in uniform. Goodbye, Simon.
Mr. Temple?
You can come in now, Louis.
Worked, huh?
Yeah, well, bless your raucous little voice, Louis. It worked. There aren't any policemen really on the way, are there?
No, only after what I seen through the keyhole.
It isn't polite to look through keyholes.
You're complaining?
No, but...
Don't worry. I knew you wasn't alone with the blonde. I seen the little guy sneak in. Mr. Templer, who is this Mr. Bieber you're looking for anyways?
A constant reader of The Birds and Bees of East Orange.
Uh-huh. And the blonde?
The same.
And the little guy with the gun?
Also a constant reader.
That book must have something.
Undoubtedly. But what? Come on, Louis.
Yeah, okay. Look, Mr. Templer. Did you read that book?
No. May's copy was out.
Mr. Templer, I'll tell you something. In Brooklyn...
Yes, Louis?
We didn't learn about the birds and the bees from a book.
Well, East Orange apparently isn't Brooklyn, Louis.
East Orange must be awful dull. Well, where to, Mr. Templer?
Home, Louis. I'm expecting company. Come on in, Louis, and...
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, good evening.
This is the company you was expecting, Mr. Templer?
It was a possibility I'd considered.
Who is he?
He would be Mr. Bieber, I should imagine.
He is. He's also got a gun.
He has. Now then.
The answer is no.
You're quite sure?
Quite sure.
I've already searched your apartment, of course.
I'm sure you have.
However, you may be a better hider than I am a finder.
I'm a terrible hider.
That might possibly be modesty.
Not really. Mr. Beaver, if you'd stayed in your hotel room, you would have been spared the trip here.
Indeed?
Yes, I've just returned from the hotel.
What a pity.
Of course, your friends were there.
Friends?
Yes, Wendy and Peter Piper.
Nonsense. I know no one by either of those names.
Oh, my error.
However, I think I'll run along now, if you don't mind.
You're holding the gun.
So I am, to be sure. Good evening.
Good evening.
A very polite type, only he points with a gun yet.
Louis, I've got to stay here in case of further visits, but will you...
Mr. Templer, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, my arches just fell.
Look, I need a copy of the book, The Birds and Bees of East Orange.
Nobody needs a copy of a book like that.
It's late, you may have trouble locating a copy, but if you can get hold of May Owen and...
Of May Owen? I'm on my way.
But, Louis, you're tired.
Who says?
You're sleepy.
Did Edison sleep?
Your arches fell.
I'll pick him up on my way out. So long.
Oh, one thing, Louis.
Yeah?
One man's already been killed because of that book. Be careful. Don't add another chapter to it, Come in. Hello, Louis.
Hello.
Well, did you...
Yeah, we got the book. Yeah, May Owen went home to sleep. Hey, Mr. Templer, you should hear the kind of language a bookseller uses when you wake him in the middle of the night to ask him about the birds and the bees. Very educated language, too.
I'm sorry.
Full of synonyms. Did you have any visitors?
No, no.
Uh-huh.
You were gone a couple of hours. I'm worried.
Well, anyway, we got a copy of that book. Here.
Thank you, Louis. I could continue waiting, but,
But you ain't the patient type, huh?
No, Louis.
Yeah. Well, no one's been shot for at least a couple hours.
I don't like murderers, Louis. They kill people.
Yeah, I never thought of it like that before.
Well...
Hotel Bolivar. Good evening.
Oh, Mr. Beaver, please.
1 minute, sir.
Thank you. I'll hold on.
Beaver? But that's the guy who was here.
Yes, I know.
Oh, he also will use very educated language on being waked up.
Yes?
Mr. Beaver, this is Simon Templer.
Yes, Mr. Templer.
I know it's late, but, Mr. Beaver, I have a book lying on my table.
Oh?
The title of it is The Birds and Bees of East Orange.
How did you get it?
That isn't important. I just thought you'd be interested.
I'll be right over. Wait for me.
Of course. Goodbye.
You bought him another copy?
Louis, he's on his way over here, therefore...
Yeah, therefore what?
Therefore, suppose we get started on our way.
Oh, sure, sure. On our way to where?
His hotel.
Well, it's a nice lobby, but Mr. Templer Beaver ain't gonna be in.
No, perhaps not.
Yes, sir?
We'd like to see Mr. Beaver, please.
Mr. Beaver?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Beaver is out.
You sure?
Yes, sir. I saw him go.
Oh, thank you. Come on, Louis.
Fine. You tell Beaver you got a book for him. He rushes to your apartment. But before he gets there, you take the book. You go to his hotel to find out what you already knew.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, that's true, Louis.
What, I'm not supposed to understand?
Louis, get in your cab. I'm going to take a walk.
What's the matter? Something suddenly went wrong with the cab?
No, but I want to see how many steps I can take before someone picks me up, me and the book.
Oh.
Go on, Louis.
Okay, but my inferiority complex is growing like anything.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Simon, darling.
Eight steps. Mm-hmm.
What?
But Wendy, you're not the one.
I'm not what one?
The one I expected to... Oh, never mind. Louis! Louis! Let's have a cab!
Simon Templer, what do you mean by grabbing me, throwing me into a cab, and then refusing to talk to me?
Why were you watching outside the hotel?
I wasn't. And you still haven't explained...
Wendy, I can't.
Why not?
Because your perfume is so strong, so...
Oh, you're lying.
Oh, very well. Then because I'm afraid that we're rushing towards death.
Hey, your door was open, Mr. Temple.
Yes.
Wow. Your apartment's very nice, Simon.
Thank you, but he isn't.
Well, well, well.
Oh, it's Mr. Beaver. He's grinning at us.
Grinning? Not exactly, Wendy.
Mr. Temple, he...
Yes, shot. Oh. And dead. Very dead.
Simon, we didn't do anything about Mr. Beaver.
Well, what would you suggest? Artificial respiration?
No, I mean, you didn't notify the police or...
Mr. Beaver can wait. He has all eternity to wait in.
Yeah, this I understand, but why are we going to the bookstore?
I don't know. Let's say to see if it's open or shut, huh?
I don't want to go there. I don't want to go any place except home.
Not quite yet, Wendy. I think it's time we cleared up a few things.
I don't understand.
Your part in this entire business, the business itself, is about as subtle as the way you use perfume.
But I...
Wendy, you, Beaver, and Piper were involved in something illegal. Something that was regular and had continuity. The fact that the dead man in the bookstore, Dugan, was a gambler indicates...
I refuse to listen to you.
...that the three of you were engaged in gambling, a betting ring, say. No answer? Well, that's answer enough. Since your activities were illegal and since the police have been actively engaged in breaking up such rings, you had to take steps to avoid being seen together, suspected together, convicted together.
You're making all this up.
Yeah, you distrusted even the telephone, since phone wires have been tapped rather frequently of late. Therefore, one of you struck on the circulating library idea. Yeah, messages could be conveyed by means of a book agreed upon in advance. A book and a code. That book was the Birds and Bees of East Orange. You could be sure no one else would be especially interested in a book of that kind.
Simon, you're...
Yes?
Quite right.
The messages dealt mainly with,
payoffs.
Bieber had reserved the book. Therefore, he was innocent of Dugan's murder. Dugan, who had tumbled to the setup and thought of cutting himself in, is that right?
I guess so, Simon.
Mr. Templer, bookstore's closed.
Small, no one would be hiding there. Wendy, who brought in the book for Beaver to pick up? You or Piper?
I don't want to tell you.
Oh, don't be an idiot. I know the answer. It confirms your innocence so far as Dugan's murder goes.
Does it? Well... I brought the book in.
In that case, you know where the money for the payoff is, huh? Where?
Well, we had several places, but this one's a rented room.
Give Louis the address, huh? Maybe we won't be late again. Maybe we won't find another corpse grinning at us.
Simon... You don't think I killed anyone, do you?
No, Wendy.
Well, is it because of chivalry or something?
No. I'll tell you about it some rainy night.
Although I'll keep in close touch with the weatherman. But Simon, Beaver's dead and so is Dugan. That leaves only Piper. So why are you afraid of another murder? There isn't anyone left to kill.
You're forgetting May Owen, aren't you?
Well, the girl who owns a bookstore? Oh, she had nothing to do
with... Only an idiot could have failed to notice the fact that an obscure book was being regularly taken out by the same three people. May noticed. She must have put in a lot of study on that book.
You mean she figured out what it was all about?
Well, this is the place, Mr. Templer.
Oh, good. You can come along with us, Louis.
Sure.
It's upstairs.
Oh. Ooh, noisy steps. There's no use trying to keep quiet. Perhaps it won't be necessary.
But Simon, May came to you. Why would she have done that?
Dugan's corpse in her store was too hard to explain. Forced her hand.
Oh, I see. Oh, it's the second door down, Simon.
I want to listen to you.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I Dear girl, me. I have a gun, and I know how to use it, too.
Of course you do, but why bother? After all, surely we can come to an agreement.
Not with you. I don't trust you, so you just
let's drop in and say hello, huh?
I'll take that gun now.
No.
I hope we're not intruding.
Oh, not at all. Thank you, Mr. Templer. Girl was about to shoot me. I hate being shot. Messy.
No doubt.
She looks so innocent, too. You know, I don't like girls who go around murdering people. It gives us such a bad name.
Murdering people. Oh.
Hey, look, she fainted. Keep away from her. She's faking. I'll take a look at her.
While you do this, chair.
Hey, Mr. Temple, what's the matter? You didn't like him?
Piper? I prefer him unconscious. I don't like men who go around murdering people. Gives the human race such a bad name.
Simon.
Yes, Wendy?
I know Piper killed Dugan and Mr. Bieber, but I don't know why.
Oh, Piper decided to play Monopoly, Wendy. He wanted all the money for himself. Playing Monopoly is fun, but Piper added murder to it. You see, he arrived at the bookstore out of turn in order to find out where the payoff money was, intending to grab it and disappear.
But Dugan was already there, so Piper killed him. But it might have been Mr. Bieber or me who killed Dugan.
No, no. Dugan was unarmed. Why did he have to be killed? Obviously only to shut his mouth. About what? The fact that his killer had arrived at the bookstore out of turn.
Yeah, I understand that. Except at that time, you didn't know that it couldn't have been me.
Oh, but I did know. As I've mentioned on several occasions, you use perfume liberally. Dugan's body was warm when I found him, but there were no traces of perfume in the air. There would have been had you been in the store that recently.
Mm-hmm. Simon, you know it's very cold in this room.
Oh, I'm sorry. We must wait for the police. Louis must have found a phone by now.
But, until they get here...
Wendy, the perfume you use, it's taboo, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You like it?
Yes, very much. But do you know what taboo means?
What, Simon?
Among savages, it means out of bounds, do not touch.
Oh, Simon.
Who's a savage?
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, Portrait of an American. Picture of the research scientist dedicated to the destruction of disease. Today, a handful of such specialists have launched a campaign in their laboratory battlefields against the vicious cripplers, arthritis and rheumatism. The organization known as Arthritis is moving against these diseases which have caused such pain in the lives of 7.5 million people. Uppermost in the minds of the men behind this organization are these facts. No one is free from the threat of arthritis and rheumatism, and as yet, scientists have found no specific cure for them. Now the nonprofit organization Arthritis has taken the field. The fight against arthritis and rheumatism is on. The fight for the health and well-being of us all. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
This adventure of The Saint was written by Louis Vittes. In our cast, you heard Gigi Pearson as Wendy and Betty Moran as May. Ted Osborne was Mr. Bieber, Harry Brown the hotel clerk, Barney Phillips was Peter, and Edmund McDonald, Lieutenant Minnelli. Louis is played by Larry Dobkin. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's fun and adventure for you in your big NBC Sunday evening lineup. For fun, it's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show with friend Frankie,
Brother Willie, and Charming Julius. For Adventure, Joel McRae stars in another story of the modern-day Wild West when he portrays Ranger Jace Pearson in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Now stay tuned for Phil Regan's Camp Show, next on NBC.
Now, Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. Roma Wines present Suspense.
Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Mr. Vincent Price as star of The Name of the Beast, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Speer.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness in entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant, as Roma Wines bring you Vincent Price in a remarkable tale of suspense.
News and views in the world of art. Yesterday at the Deauville Galleries, a record-breaking crowd attended one of the most sensational exhibitions of recent years. Masterpiece of the show is a portrait by James Dorrance titled The Name of the Beast. It's a savagely candid work, a face from which violence has shattered the last vestige of humanity. The tragic circumstances of the artist's death are too well known to review here, but at the same time, one cannot help speculating upon the essential mystery surrounding this remarkable canvas. What is the name of the beast?
The name of the beast was Krebs, Elmer Krebs. I found him in an evil waterfront dive, took him to my studio, and made the first sketch for the portrait that night. I gave him money, and he promised to return the next day. When he didn't show up, I went in search of him. He wasn't hard to trace. My search came to an end in a squalid room of a waterfront hotel.
Come in.
He didn't look up when I entered the room, but continued to sit there on the sagging, dingy bedstead, holding his head in his hands and gently moaning. I crossed the room and raised the blind to let in the daylight. Then I saw it. Blood. On his hands, on his shirt front, in his hair and beard. A horrible, sticky mass of blood. You didn't show up for our appointment today. I'm the painter you met last night, remember? You were going to sit for a portrait.
What do you want? You want your money back?
Certainly not. I want to finish my painting. I want you to come back to the studio.
You must be crazy.
Look here, it's very important for me to finish that painting. I'll make it worth your while.
Money? I don't need money. Not anymore.
Maybe I can help you in some other way. You're in some kind of trouble, that's obvious.
What business is that of yours?
You better wake up and pull yourself together. We'll have to get rid of those clothes some way or other. Well, I'll think of some way. What happened?
I told you it's none of your business. Why don't you leave me alone? I'm sick. All that blood.
The first thing we must do is clean up this mess here. Now get those clothes off. The shoes, too. I'll make a parcel out of them and dump them in the river after dark. You'd better shave off that beard, too. They'll be looking for a man with a beard, you know.
Who will?
Why, the police, of course.
What makes you so sure of that?
I know more about you than you think I do.
You're bluffing.
Maybe, maybe not. But you're in no position to take chances. For all you know, I might be a witness. I might have seen you kill...
Shut up!
Temper, temper.
I told you I'm sick. I'm liable to do anything.
It wouldn't be smart for you to do anything to me, Elmer. I'm your only hope. You know that, don't you? You lost your head. You were clumsy. To get away with murder, you need a clear head. Look at the mistakes you've made already. Blood all over you. As good as a rope around your neck. Where did you hide the loot?
That's what you're after.
Then it was robbery. Somewhere close by, too. Couldn't have gone far with all that blood on you without attracting attention.
Well?
It was in a shop, I imagine. That means they probably won't find the body till Monday
What's
morning.
What's all this third degree? You with the police?
On the contrary, Elmer. I'm going to save you from the police.
Huh?
I told you. I want to finish painting that portrait of you.
It don't make sense. All this just to paint some crazy picture.
Ah, but what a picture, Elmer. I've waited 20 years to paint this picture. Everything I've ever painted has been merely the preparation for this. I've worked alone, never exhibited a single canvas. Do you know what it is to work alone?
Yeah, I know.
Nobody knows your name, but one day, quite suddenly, a masterpiece explodes in the face of a jaded world. Like your murder, Elmer. After a life of petty crime, at last an act of yours really means something. Newspapers will headline it. The whole world will be clamoring to know your name. Exciting, isn't it?
Exciting?
Well, that's the way I feel about this portrait. I must finish the job just
as
you.
How do I know you won't take those clothes to the cops instead of dumping them?
I'm taking a terrible chance walking out of here with a bundle of blood-stained clothes, as it is. They'd fit me about as well as they fit you.
Okay, that's fair enough.
By the way, where did it happen?
A hawk shop, number 23, next to the alley.
Was it necessary?
The old man came in and started firing a revolver right off. I don't pack no rod. There's nothing else to do. I grabbed the fire axe off the wall.
Oh, my. And I suppose the police have your fingerprints on file?
Yeah, I done time once.
What did you do with the axe?
Just dropped it there. I was sick, all that blood.
I suppose you left nice red fingerprints all over the place.
I didn't touch nothing. Maybe the windowsill going out.
That's the first place they'll look. And you're obviously in no condition to go back
there
now.
What are you trying to do? Buy yourself a nice murder rap?
My dear fellow, any intelligent man can get away with murder if he keeps his wits about him. You ought to be very grateful to me, Elmer. I'm going to take your clumsy crime and make it into a work of art.
For Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you as star Vincent Price in The Name of the Beast by Robert Tallman. Roma Wines' presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Between the acts of Suspense, this is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines. Yesterday, a happily married friend told me one of his favorite formulas for enjoying life. He said he never eats dinner while still burdened with the pressures of a busy day. Instead, he sits down for a few minutes, takes it easy, chats with his wife, and enjoys with her a glass or two of Roma California Sherry, the perfect first call to dinner. Yes, Roma Sherry before dinner is a pleasant custom millions now share with family and friends. For Roma Sherry is a glorious golden amber wine, soft and mellow on the tongue, so inviting with its pleasing nut-like taste. Roma Sherry makes mealtime more welcome, helps you anticipate the good food to come. And when friends drop in, there's no more gracious greeting than a glass of Roma Sherry. Tomorrow night, before dinner, share Roma Sherry with your family. It costs no more to serve Roma, America's favorite wine. So insist on Roma, R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Remember, more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine.
And now Roma Wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Vincent Price as James Dorrance, with Elliot Lewis as Krebs, in The Name of the Beast, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
The shoes of the beast were just my size. I wore them when I went on my errand that night. It was fortunate I did. Getting into the place was simple. It was an old-fashioned lock, and the skeleton key to my studio fitted it perfectly. The shop bell jangled when I opened the door. I made my way quickly along the dark rows of counters to the rear of the shop. A pair of dusty portieres provided it from the back room. I pulled them to behind me and snapped on my flashlight. The body, or what was left of it, lay in a heap in the center of the room. The floor, well, it was lucky I hadn't worn my own shoes. There would be tracks out of that place, red tracks. The axe lay near the old man's head. I picked up the axe and carried it over to the sink. I washed off what I could and smeared out the prints with the cotton gloves on my hands. Then I made a quick circuit of the room, taking in every surface. With the wet gloves, I smeared the prints on the safe handle, the windowsill, and the jimmy the murderer had so stupidly left behind him. Then I dropped the cotton gloves on the floor and left them there. No way to trace a pair of cheap cotton gloves. Now there was only one last thing to do. Walk around the block to dry the soles of those shoes and burn them in the stove when I got back to my studio. The handiwork of the beast would remain, but the name of the beast had been expunged. But I didn't burn the shoes, nor did I throw that bundle of clothing into the river as I had first planned to do that night. No, no. This would be an authentic portrait of a murderer in the very blood-stained garments of his crime. That will be all for today, Elmer.
How much longer does this go on?
Until the painting is finished. You can't set a time limit on the completion of a masterpiece, you know.
That don't look much like me.
You've forgotten. I made the first sketch before you shaved off your beard.
I don't like this picture. Did you have to paint in all that blood?
My dear fellow, no one in the world would ever recognize you as the man with the beard in this painting.
I don't like this picture. I don't like staying here. Look, what about that stuff? When can I start cashing in on it?
I should have thought I was paying you enough to live on.
Or don't want to get married.
Well, that... What? Oh, good Lord, man. You mustn't even consider it. In the first place, I can't afford to support another person.
Who's asking you to support anybody? I got that stuff, haven't I? Well, I'm going to cash it in, that's all.
Listen to me, Elmer. If you try to unload as much as one piece of that loot, the police will be on your tail so fast. Oh, no, my friend. That stuff has got to stay where it is for some time to come.
You just say that so I'll have to depend on you. So you can paint that lousy picture.
Maybe. Oh, by the way, Elmer, I've never said anything about it before, but you never told me exactly what you did do with the loot.
The suitcase, I told you.
Yes, I know, in a locker at Grand Central, but where's the ticket?
That's one secret I'm keeping.
Well, all right. But you will promise me not to unload those jewels. Not for a while.
She keeps asking me, when are we going to get married? What am I going to tell her?
Oh, by the way, who is the lucky lady?
Jeannie. The name's Jeannie Baker. Hey, wait a minute, though. She don't know anything about me. Not anything. If I ever catch you talking to her, so help me, I'll kill you.
You say you're a friend of Elmer's?
Well, not a friend exactly. I'm afraid this will be rather a shock to you. You're very close to Mr. Krebs.
Well, we're engaged to be married. What is it? Is he in some kind of trouble? Are you a detective?
Well, not exactly. You see, I represent the insurance company.
What insurance company?
State Indemnity. Our policyholder doesn't want to prosecute, but at the same
prosecute?
Time... Prosecute? Well, after all, the jewels were of considerable value.
What jewels?
Why, the jewels in the suitcase, in the locker at Grand Central. He did leave the ticket with you, didn't he?
Oh, well, yes, but I mean, he didn't tell me that... Well, he did say it was valuable and he didn't want to risk losing the ticket, but... How did you know about it?
My dear Miss Baker, we insurance investigators have ways of finding out these things. Now then, if you're a sensible young woman, and I can see that you're not only a sensible young woman, but a very beautiful one as well.
Mr. Dorrance, what has he done?
Well, I don't think he regarded it as a theft exactly, more of a loan in all probability. After all, his aunt was a very old lady and...
You mean he stole this jewelry from his aunt?
Well, I wanted to spare you those exact words if I could. Actually, the lady would prefer not to prosecute. But of course, if we can secure the return of the property in no other way...
I suppose I'd be arrested, too, as an accessory or something.
I must say it was rather thoughtless of him to have involved you in this manner.
How do I know you're what you say you are?
I have credentials, of course. But I would rather take care of this unofficially, especially since this little talk with you. You're much too fine a person to be involved in a sordid affair like this.
I don't even know that suitcase has any jewels in it.
Then supposing we go there together and get it, Jeannie?
Hello?
Let's have a look.
How are we going to...
Well, I think I have a key here that'll open it.
What? Those must be worth a fortune.
Yes, they are, Miss Baker. You understand our concern?
Yes. Close it up. I don't want to look at it anymore.
I'd like to have spared you this. You understand, of course, that I wouldn't dream of prosecuting... Not now that I've met you.
I don't know how to thank you, Mr. Dorrance. This is such a shock to me. How could he?
There. You're not the first innocent girl to be deceived by an unscrupulous fellow like that. How did you happen to become involved with him in the first place?
I was lonely. I have no friends here, and he came into the cafe where I wait tickets.
There now.
You won't let anything happen to me.
I promise you, I'll do anything to keep you from knowing another moment's unhappiness. That night I worked feverishly, like a man possessed. But as I worked, an uncanny change came over the man in the portrait. There was something about it, something that terrified and at the same time fascinated me. Yet the more I tried to make it come right, the less it really looked like Krebs. I began to regret I had had him shave his beard, in spite of the risk involved. Being clean-shaven altered a man's appearance more than I thought. But that wasn't the real difficulty. The real trouble was Jeannie Baker. How could she ever have loved a beast like Krebs? A girl so gentle, so lovely. I tried not to think of her. But the image of Jeannie stood between me and the canvas, and the painting just would not come right. Miss Krebs sat there, sullenly posing for me. His eyes began to grow more and more cunning and suspicious, as though he could actually read my thoughts. He would jump up every time I laid down my brush and circle the portrait like an infuriated animal, until finally, around 4 in the morning, he dropped off to snoring. I let him stay there. In the dawn light, I looked at the picture for the last time and draped the easel to shut it out of my sight. My masterpiece, for which I had become accessory after the fact of one murder and sowed the seeds of a second, was, I knew it now deep in my heart, a failure. I was obsessed now with only one resolve, to prevent the second murder, which by some instinct I knew was in Krebs' mind. At whatever cost to myself, no harm must come to Jeannie.
Mr. Dorrance, I've been told that artists are full of romantic notions, and the Bureau has dealt with a number of them in this neighborhood, as you can well imagine. But I must say that of all the pipe dreams that have been brought to me, yours is the most fantastic.
Oh, but listen, Inspector, you've got to believe me. That girl's life is in danger.
Yeah, we're checking on that. Now, let's check on a few other things, Mr. Dorrance. You say that on the night of the 12th, you met this man Krebs at a place called Louis.
Yes, sir.
And afterwards, you went with him to your studio and made a sketch of him for a portrait. All right, so far, so good. He promised to return the following day and sit again for the painting. He failed to show up, so you sought him out at his hotel. Now the story really becomes incredible. He tells you he's committed a ghastly murder. He's covered in blood. You offer to help him get away with the murder in order to finish the portrait. Oh, now really, Mr. Dorrance. You painters need publicity as bad as all that.
But, Inspector, I tell you, I have all the evidence.
Where?
At my studio.
Where's this man Krebs? Except for the portrait you say you painted of him, I can't find a shred of evidence that he exists. Now, just a minute. Yes, Sergeant?
They've picked up the girl.
Good. Send her in.
Oh, she'll tell you. She'll tell you who Krebs is.
Oh, come in, Miss Baker. We won't detain you long. Miss Baker, do you know this man? I say, do you know this man?
It's all right, my dear. Speak up.
Yes. His name is Elmer Krebs.
A few minutes later, they let me go, dismissing me as a harmless crackpot. Jeannie walked out of the station with me, clinging to my arm with solicitude, as one might act towards a beloved and mentally ill relative. Why did you do it?
Elmer came to my apartment last night. He told me the whole story.
But then why?
He was boasting about how he's pinned the crime on you. Don't you see? Everything you've done to save him has incriminated you. The bloodstained clothes, even the loot.
Oh, I'm tired. I don't know.
Listen to me. He'll always be a threat to us, to our happiness. He's safe. The police don't even know he exists. They don't even know what he looks like.
They steal the portrait. It's not a masterpiece, but they can identify him from it.
I see. Darling, you didn't mind my rechristening you?
You once loved a man named Krebs.
And I still love a man named Krebs.
And it's all right. For that, I'd do anything.
Put this in your overcoat pocket. It'll keep you safe, darling.
What? Oh, no, no, I...
It'll keep you safe, darling.
He was there in my studio when I got in that evening, waiting for me. I had more or less expected it. I hadn't expected to find him in such a cheerful frame of mind. He had pulled the drape off of the painting and was walking round it, viewing it from every angle.
Hi, Dorrance.
How did you get in here?
Through the door. No more window jobs for me, Dorrance. Yeah, the picture. How about that? Got a new model, huh?
What? The picture? Oh, it's no good. By the way, it's finished now. You won't need to come here anymore.
You'll say.
I'll get you the suitcase. I suppose it'll be safe for you to cash that stuff.
I already found
the
suitcase, Dorrance.
Oh? Well, take it along with you, then.
It's over there on the table. I opened it up.
Well?
You think I'd take it without checking on the contents?
What are you talking about?
What'd you do with the rocks, Dorrance?
Rocks?
You took the rocks, the jewelry. There's nothing left there but the settings, a pile of junk.
Listen, Krebs, I swear I never opened that suitcase but once, just after we took it out of the locker.
She's in it with you.
Listen, Krebs, you can think whatever you want to about me, but keep Jeannie out of it.
I keep Jeannie out of it? That's a laugh.
I mean what I say. Krebs, where are you going?
To her place. She has those rocks. I'm going to get
Krebs, come back here.
I have a job to do.
Krebs, if you go out of that door, I warn you. All right. I dragged his body inside the door and left it there. Then I dropped the revolver Jeannie had given me back in my overcoat pocket and left my studio. For the last time, as I closed the door on the room, it seemed that the face in the portrait was grinning at me in hideous mockery. I had meant to go straight to the police and give myself up, but I must have known in my heart that I wouldn't. Instead, I walked, and my feet took me almost against my will to the house on Grove Street, the house where Jeannie lived. I had roused her from sleep, and she seemed rather cross.
What's the big idea, barging in here this time of night?
I had to see you, Jeannie.
Well?
That was an unlucky name you gave me, Jeannie.
What's happened?
I shot him. You gave me a murderer's name, and now I am a murderer.
So you really did it. I wondered if you'd have the guts.
Jeannie! Oh,
what do you want me to do? Put on black and cry myself to death?
You loved him once.
Who said so?
You were going to marry him.
Maybe. I thought he was smart once. I said I'd marry him if he pulled a really big job. I might have kept my word, but he bungled it. What's worse, he involved me. When I found out he'd planted that stuff on me...
You knew. You knew all the time.
Oh, so what? So what? You'll get your cut.
Oh, Krebs was right. You did take those stones. And I killed a man for you. To save you.
What did you do with the gun?
It's in my overcoat pocket. I was going to the police.
Oh, you sap. Why didn't you leave the gun there? Make it look like suicide.
It was, in a way, wasn't it, Jeannie? I'm Krebs now. Dorrance is dead. You planned it very nicely.
Oh, stop. Stop trying to be deep. Doesn't matter what your name is. Either way, you've messed it up. Anybody have a key to your place?
No.
And we still have time.
Time for what?
The body! Any intelligent person can get away with murder if he keeps his wits about him. You told Elmer that.
Yes, I told Elmer that.
You're scared to go back there, aren't you? Do you want me to do it for you?
No. No, I'll do it. I must do it.
Here. Mustn't forget your overcoat.
No. No, I mustn't forget my overcoat. It'll keep me... It'll keep me safe. Goodbye, Jeannie.
Two stiffs. What a shambles.
Looks as if he shot this guy and then bumped himself off. Who are they?
I don't know the other one. This is a guy that came into headquarters Saturday. You know, the artist.
Huh?
Well,
Must have been something to his story after all.
Here's a note he left.
You see. Dear Inspector, the portrait I told you about is standing on the easel facing the window so you can see it in the light. James Dorrance.
I guess this must be it here.
He said it identified the murderer. Is it a good likeness?
Gee, I don't know. You look at it.
Why, it's a woman.
Yeah, it's a dame we picked up. The little waitress. Hey, but look, it's got men's clothes on. Bloody. And the way he's made the face all twisted and ugly. She was a good-looking kid.
Yeah, she was.
He must have been cracked.
I guess he must have been.
A thing like that makes you wonder, don't it?
Yeah, a thing like that makes you wonder.
The discerning art lover will recognize Doran's painting as more than a mere portrait. It's the human soul stripped naked, and its dark and deep and secret places shown in all their morbid brooding fascination. But still one cannot help wondering, what is the name of the beast? Did the woman in the portrait exist, or was she only the creature of the artist's fevered imagination? Our only clue is in a quotation which the artist caused to be printed in the exhibition catalog.
And he causeth all to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man.
Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. Before we hear again from Vincent Price, the star of The Name of the Beast, tonight's suspense play, this is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines with a tip for you men. Every wife loves surprises, little unexpected deeds that reflect thoughtfulness. So, tomorrow night, boost your stock with her. Solve her problem of how to brighten weekend dining. Add to your own mealtime pleasure, too. Take home a bottle of delicious Roma California Burgundy. One sip will convince you both that red, robust Roma Burgundy is the perfect table mate for stews, spaghetti, or baked beans. For Roma Burgundy brings out hidden flavors, adds rare goodness to every morsel. Yes, gentlemen, Roma Burgundy can make a hero of you on two counts, for being thoughtful and for solving a mealtime problem. And Roma wine, America's first choice, costs no more than ordinary wines. Remember, for greater dining pleasure tomorrow, take home Roma Burgundy. Insist on Roma, R-O-M-A, Roma wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Vincent Price. Next Thursday, our friend Keenan Wynn will be your star on Suspense in what sounds like a very exciting play, which all takes place on a bus. A bus making a return trip from the state insane asylum. I know you won't want to miss it next Thursday. And now, let me add my voice on behalf of a very great and wonderful cause. The pennies, the dimes, and the dollars that you give when you buy Easter seals, give crippled children their chance for happy living. Help a crippled child to walk again. Buy your share of Easter seals tomorrow. Thank you.
Vincent Price appeared through courtesy of 20th Century Fox and will soon be seen in their production Dragonwick. Next Thursday, same time, Roma Wines will bring you Keenan Wynn as star of Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills.
Produced by William Spear for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
that's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back next Tuesday with Box 13 and Voyage of the Scarlet Queen. And between now and then, you can find more from The Saint, Suspense, with the Relic Radio Show, and everything else Relic Radio. At the website, relicradio.com. You can donate through the website as well if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. It's how this is all made possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.